Welcome to Banerjee B-Roll, our brand new internal podcast giving you a small glimpse into what's been happening within our media and entertainment powerhouse and a chance to meet colleagues across the business. I'm Yeye and today I'm joined by co-host Emily. So we are so excited to introduce our very first guests who are here to tell us all about their new production venture, scripted label Esmeralda Productions.
Sir Lenny Henry and John Sen, welcome to Banerjee B-Roll.
It's very nice to be here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time in the midst of a new production startup. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, this is a wonderful time. We launched last week or week before last. We had a nice do. I've never had a launch party for a production company before, but it was great to see all the fellow travellers and people that were willing to come out and support you on a wet Tuesday night. But it was a very good night.
Celebratory affair. It was great.
Nice. It's a great way to launch.
Yeah.
A little bit of a do. It's nice. Are you able to tell us a bit about Esmeralda and what was the process in creating the label?
I've been part of production companies before, Crucial Films in the early 90s, and Douglas Road more recently. And there are always things as you're going through where you're looking at what you're doing and wondering what else you could be doing. And I felt that Douglas Road were making mainly unscripted stuff. And although I liked everything that we did and I liked working with Angela, it wasn't really what I wanted to be doing. My intention was to make drama and comedy for marginalised voices made by diverse and inclusive voices, which means you can have allies of all stripes. But what you want to do is encourage black and brown people and working class people to get up there and to be in the centre space. So we started to think about that, and I started to talk to Patrick Holland about what such a company might be like. And then he agreed to go forward, and we started to look for the kind of person who might manage direct, co-manage direct such a company. And John's name cropped up. And it was lovely to meet somebody who was like-minded. You want somebody who doesn't just agree with everything you say, but somebody who isn't scared to go, actually, I disagree with you, and what about this? So we've got a good relationship in that I have loads of ideas, and John goes, I like that one, not sure about that one. Argue for that one. And we talk it out like that. So far, touch wood, it's very, very good. John's experience speaks for itself. It's extraordinary. You know, I've done lots of things too, so I think we're a good match.
And I think you touched on it already, but what would you say are your main values and mission for the label?
Well, we've always said we wanted to support and nurture creatives to do their best work and champion perspectives, unique perspectives, through the magic of story. That's been our mission and purpose, and that remains very, very important to us. That's the thrust of all our work, all our reading, the writers we're meeting. They are largely, you know, there's a huge amount of underrepresented voices within the community and in the writing community and the director community. There's artists who've not had their stories told, and we want to give them that chance. So I think in terms of values, inclusion, collaboration, authenticity, but also at the heart of that lies a commitment to excellence and plurality of thought and diversity of perspective. So we want to put a unique lens on mainstream stories. That's what we want to do, because there are so many stories out there that deserve to be told.
The other thing is providing a conduit for those unheard voices to get to the mainstream. And by that I mean, if we can get an ally or a famous person, a famous writer, to work with an untried writer and help them to get to where they need to get to, that would be a good piece of work to do. My example of this is when I was doing Three Little Birds, I worked with Russell T. Davis for a period of time, and it was just great to have somebody of that experience who knows about the commissioners and what they're looking for, and who knows how to tell a story, and who can help you make your story better. To have that person in the room for several days and on Zoom was an asset, because it was a proper ally. And I think I liked the way that felt. We think that we can help new writers with talent. We can help them make that feel that too by providing them with mentors that they might not have heard of, or people that we go, actually, why don't we ask such and such to read the script and give their thoughts on it? It's just a thing. And it's difficult because everybody's really busy. But if we can provide that conduit, that would have been a good day's work.
Do you feel the stories, these diverse stories, and are coming to you more often now, or do you still have to look for them?
I think they are they are coming to us. I think people feel much more, they feel much more confident to tell their story, to bring their story to TV, to the mainstream, to us. I think we still need to offer encouragement. I think people, particularly black and brown talent, can feel that they don't have a home within TV. On-screen talent has been huge leaps forward in on-screen representation, and that's great. And I've been part of productions where we've seen huge growth in black and brown crew and editorial staff. But I think giving that talent the opportunity to really develop and craft their unique voices is something that really we want to support and hasn't been given the emphasis or the opportunity. We're not giving it the real air that it really needs to fly.
I mean, touching on that, are there any specific diversity inclusion initiatives that you've seen either within or outside the industry that you particularly inspired about?
Look, there are several celebrated initiatives that I think are really interesting. BAFTA Elevate is really good because it gives people a platform. But like I say, I think the ones that have been really successful for me are the ones where we've given people the opportunity to learn. I worked for a long time on continuing drama, so EastEnders and Casualty, and we spent a lot of time and created roles to support new emerging writers or writers who hadn't written for TV before, to give them the support that was necessary to enable them to write on those shows. Because it's one thing giving the opportunity, but it is another thing to make sure that those people are not set up to fail.
Opportunity is one thing, employment is another.
Yeah.
If you're employed and you're expected every day to show up, you're going to learn fast. You know, when we got into development, paid development for Three Little Birds, that was one thing. When we knew the show was going to happen, suddenly a man comes in and goes, we need you to conflate those two scenes because we haven't got the time to shoot that. Do that now. And you're suddenly doing the changes like that afternoon because they need it in 2 hours' time. So to me, everything sped up when I was in the role of the writer who was in charge of making this work for that day.
We just wanted to see how you started off in the industry and how it's changed for you. Either do you feel like it's exponentially grown in sort of a positive way, or are we still, as you were saying, quite far in terms of making meaningful change?
I think the industry has moved on massively in the 25 years that I've been working in it. I think there has been meaningful change. I think the doors feel a lot more widely thrown open for diverse talent. I started off as a writer and a director and an editor. I think what people need to appreciate is that black and brown talent have had several doors shut to them historically. So that's why they have gone off and, like I had to do, write and direct and freelance edit, because those are the jobs that I could get to be in the industry. And you see a lot of diverse talent have had to make their own stuff in order to get on, because those avenues historically weren't open to you. You know, the ones where you get on the bottom rung of a ladder at the BBC and kind of work your way up. It was unconscious bias, I think, your face just didn't fit into those big organisations. And then you can't. So now I think we have to appreciate that the people that we want to hire from those backgrounds are going to have a different skill set. They are people who've made their own YouTube videos and they've got skills editing somebody's documentary that they may start, or they put a web series out. And we have to appreciate, it's like when we're hiring, we need to look at CVs and not judge those CVs on those classic markers that we always judge CV. We actually need to judge them on some things that are completely different, and that involves employers having a different mindset to who they're employing. Because if they're still looking for the tentpole markers of progression through an editorial system, they're not going to find it. And that's why when we're employing, we need to change our mindset into what we are actually looking for.
So we would like to move on to the next part of the podcast, which is called Banjo in a Bottle. So in this segment, we want to uncover our guests' top tips for making it in the industry. So in a moment, we're going to get you to both write down your top tip. And to do that, we want you to imagine someone is stranded on the industry island. This bottle washes up on the shore and becomes their only way to make it off the island and into the industry.
So what would you write to help steer them to the TV show? A long-winded way of saying, what is your TV industry top tip?
There's a combination of things, isn't there? I mean, the thing that people keep saying to me is common sense. People need, there's a sense of, you know, when David Lean was on some film set when he was a runner, a guy came across and said, do you want to learn how to change the film in a bag? Do you want to learn how to change the film in a bag? And David Lean said, yeah, I'll do that. And the guy taught him how to change the film canister in a bag. And from that moment on, he went from doing that to being a, and then he made it to being an editor. And it just seemed to be, he's like this kid who was the guy that was around learning all the time. And I think you want to be the kid that's always learning, that isn't scared to ask a question. Well, what's that you're doing? What's an Avid do? What can I do? Can I operate the Steadicam? How do I do? You know, it's never be scared to ask a question and have some common sense is what gets you off the island, I think, and know how to swim.
No, Edson. Something I remember Tony Crisoni referring was the people who make it are made up of 100% of the people who never gave up, which has always really struck me as an amusing truism. But absolutely, it's you know, keep going. There's always a way. The obstacle is the way. And also, I think, rely on that. You can't do this alone. Rely on other people. You talk to other people, bounce ideas off your contemporaries, your peers who also want to get into film, TV. They are your greatest allies. They're not your competitors. You know, it's easy to be in your 20s and think that everybody else who wants to direct is going to be the person that steals that kind of like that great opportunity off you. Actually, the creative community that you create around you is the network that sustains you through your entire career.
Yeah, they're the ones who are going to help you make it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both so much for joining us today for the B-roll, and we look forward to seeing what you develop.
Thank you. This takes us nicely to meeting our second guest from one of our UK employee resource groups, who are here to talk about Embrace and their priorities.
Please welcome Angela Ferreira, Chair of Banerjee Embrace. Hello.
Hi. Nice to meet you all. Thank you very much. Really exciting to be involved in the podcast.
So, can you tell us about Banerjee Embrace, how the group came about, and what are your visions and missions for the group?
So, Banerjee Embrace has actually been running for probably about 5 years. It's a safe space for employees who are Black, mixed heritage, Asian, ethnically diverse to come together. Quite often in big corporate organisations, people do feel very alone. So my mantra that everyone's heard me say a million times, the only one is the lonely one. And I think that is very true. And so therefore, you can come to the group and talk about or talk to me. And you might realise actually it's something that other people are experiencing. Or somebody might say, well, actually, if you do this and this, then that will be resolved. So sometimes you just need a listening ear so that you don't feel so alone. Sometimes there are structural things that need to be discussed, but you don't feel like you're the person that can take it forward. So that if there is a senior person, if there is a senior sponsor, that's definitely a help.
And I think you've mentioned this already, Angela, but what was key to Embrace's success in terms of the setup of the group? And how are you building trust amongst your members?
So what's been really good is that we've got quite an active membership, and so the sessions are well attended, the closed sessions are well attended, as well as the open sessions are, as I've said, open to everybody in Banerjee, and sometimes external people come in as well. And the things around events have been very key, but the events are organised in such a way so they feedback into broadcasting, into media and into Embrace. So they're not just an event for the sake of it, they are with purpose.
We wanted to ask you, Angela, what does allyship mean to you?
So it's very, very important that any minoritised group has allies. I do feel here, especially as I've mentioned, we've got Bella, we've got Patrick on side, and there are also lots of people who join not only what we do at Embrace, but also the other trainings that we have. So if we, for instance, if we have something on unconscious bias, which is over Zoom, and we've got a trainer, you'll see lots of people, lots of different faces who work at Banijay will be on those calls. And all of that is allyship, understanding what issues people might be facing, not victim blaming, but just taking on board what their part in it and how they can help our overall conversation on our overall sense of belonging to Banijay and feeling that we're in a safe space to talk about what we want to talk about, that people can bring their authentic selves to work, that you don't have to put on a cloak of something else. I think all of those things are really, really important.
And so if someone was listening and wanted to join the network, how would they go about that?
It's very easy. If you want to join Embrace, please come and join us. So we put the meetings into everybody's calendar. We also have a mailing list. We also send out things like recommended reading, watching, listening as well. So when people get those emails, they can contact us, either me or Michelle directly, or through the Embrace email address.
So we like to end each episode by shining a spotlight on talent in the industry. So now is your chance, Angela, to give a B-roll shout out to someone in the industry who has helped or supported you in your career, or someone you wish to shine a spotlight on in your team or beyond.
I think there are lots and lots of people who are doing really great things in our industry. I really need to mention first and foremost our own Sir Lenny Henry CBE, because Three Little Birds on ITV, an untold story, it's one that many, many people actually know, but we've never seen it like that on the television. So, and the other things he's done for the industry are only to be admired, and opening the doors for other people. So Lenny, obviously. I think that other people in that field, Nadine Marsh Edwards, people like Candice Carty-Williams, a writer of Champion and Queenie, having their things made. Nicole Leckie, who wrote and produced Mood and did the music for it, an amazing, amazing talent. Her producer, Lisa Walters, who's worked for us at Blacklight, another Banijay company, a fantastic producer. Madeline Addy, who is an exec over at BBC Studios. So there are Carol Harding, who produced My Name is Leon for us and produced Black Ops for the BBC. So there are lots and lots of fantastic... I'm mentioning women, actually, at the moment.
Yes, no problem about that.
apart from Lenny. So I think there are people around doing really, really great work. So yeah, lots and lots of good people around, and more to come, I think.
And that's the B-roll. Many thanks to our guests, Sir Lenny Henry and John Sen, and Angela Ferreira, and a huge thank you to you for listening. We've been your hosts, Ye Ye and Emily. This show was executive produced by Mariah John Layton, Emily Fulgok, and Ye Ye Fidaka. We'll be back again soon with our next special guest. Bye for now.